Welcome to a MacGuffin Men minisode. This episode is brought to you by nobody, because who the hell would sponsor a minisode? And now, here are Alex and James.
Welcome to MacGuffin Men minisode. I'm Alex. With me is James.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
That's my mini hello for the minisodes.
Okay. Just before we get started, the point of these minisodes is so that we can tell you what we've got coming up in the next week. Well, first we'll tell you about what happened this week. This week we put out a podcast on the Bourne Legacy, which was cool. Yes. I liked the movie and I liked our podcast on it as well. I thought it was fun. sorry, I got a little bit of a cough. I need my chems. And... yeah, and I also wrote a thing about the Expendables before seeing the Expendables 2, so don't worry about spoilers. And James last week wrote about the campaign, also before seeing the campaign. But yeah, no, definitely check
best
it out.
Best article ever, probably.
Pardon?
Probably the best article ever.
Okay. Really cocky about it. It's sort of, you're sort of like Will Ferrell's character in the campaign. Did you see the campaign yet?
No.
Okay. Anyways, before... before we move forward, next week on the podcast, we're going to be talking about Easy A. We just recorded that podcast. It was pretty decent. If you like teen movies, Emma Stone or Easy A, and you should like all three, be sure to check that out. It'll be up either on Tuesday or Thursday, and we'll have a written piece up for you on whichever day the podcast does not go up. So
Easy A is funnier and more interesting than you expect. If you're on the fence at all about watching it.
Yeah, absolutely watch Easy A.
Get off that fence. Find a copy of Easy A.
Yeah.
Watch it. And I guess go back up on the fence if you have like proper netting and safety equipment.
You don't want to fall off the fence while watching Easy A. That's what we're getting at.
Because you're going to be laughing pretty hard.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, you do have to worry. I mean, just anytime Stanley Tucci's in the room, you got to hold on to that fence.
That bitch got jokes.
I know.
Hashtag that bitch got jokes. Get some shit trending by the time we're done recording. That's how that works, right?
Yeah. I think it's kind of different because we don't have the WWE's audience. We can't, we're not The Rock. We can't just say boots to asses in the beginning of a monologue and it'll be trending by the end of it.
Did you see that Rock picture? Or sorry, finish your plugs.
No, that was it. Go for it.
So they're shooting Fast 6, I think is the name we're going with for now.
Are they actually shooting it now?
There's a picture that really makes it look like it.
Really?
Yeah. Fact. I heard 6 and 7 back to back, but I have no proof of that.
Yeah, that's been talked about for a while. I don't know that they're shooting them right now. But anyways, what's this picture? I'm so curious. It doesn't matter. Is Vin there? I love
it. If Vin's there, and The Rock tweeted this picture, I'll just give you the text first. It says, I think it's shooting Fast 6, reminding Vin of what a little bitch he is. And so it's Vin Diesel in his, like, full Mr. Universe glamour pose. Yeah. Like, you know, arms up, biceps.
Yeah.
Like, he's a big deal. And then The Rock behind him doing the same thing and just making him look like a little girl. Because he's not a, like, 6'8" Samoan or whatever The Rock is.
Oh, my God.
Like, just putting him to shame.
Oh, that's so funny. Well, maybe they were at the Olympics together because Vin Diesel was at the gold medal basketball game.
Oh, he did win a gold medal this year, didn't he?
He did, yeah. Some people say it was Anthony Davis that was on the men's Olympics team taking out the end of the bench. No, it was Vin Diesel.
He won the gold for worst ratio of push-ups to sit-ups.
Yeah. That's exactly true. For those that don't know what we're talking about, if you watch Fast 5, Vin
Diesel's
upper body...
Beer belly, 18-inch pythons.
It's like the only two things he does... with his time are bicep curls and grilling lots of meat in the garage while doing bicep curls and then eating it. But yeah, I'm very excited for Fast 6. And the
Wait,
Rock
how
is...
do you want your steak? Medium rare? That's 18 reps. I'm going to wrap this barbecue while it cooks your food, brah. This is Brazil!
Oh my God, he can bench press 250, but he can't leg press 40. anyway,
watch Fast 5. This is not funny to you.
Yeah.
This should be hilarious.
We do not want any members of our... We don't want any people in our audience that have not seen Fast 5, though. So, And we can afford to be picky. We're the number one podcast out there. I know you mentioned
we're the number one podcast on our street.
Yeah, that's. I don't even know that that's verifiably true.
Oh yeah, Dover Court's a long street.
I live in a big city. You know, you. I think it's safe to say you are.
I have seven houses of competition.
And you also live in suburbia, where podcasting probably isn't as popular as in large cities. But
it's popular, but you have to do it with a loom.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, that's such a good joke if you get it.
Okay. Well, I hope some listeners get it.
Hit me up on Twitter if you get my loom jokes.
Hashtag loom joke. Hashtag that last hashtag joke you made. You mentioned you haven't seen the campaign, so I won't spoil it for you. But like,
oh, you saw it?
Yeah.
Funny?
Yes. It's not like it's not great. But it was about as good as I expected in that it was good. And had some things I really liked about it and some things I really didn't like about it. Namely, I just didn't really care for Zach Galifianakis in it, but I'm not a huge fan of him in general.
Had you any exposure to that character before?
No.
Okay, because it's Marty Higgins in the movie?
Huggins. Yeah.
And he's been doing that character under the name of Seth Galifianakis for
years. Yes, I have some familiarity. But again, like I haven't watched a lot of Zach Galifianakis' stuff because... Even, you know, like pre-Hangover, even though pre-Hangover Zach Galifianakis, I know is somebody you were really into when we lived together in university. The stuff you showed me, I just didn't do much for me, so I didn't watch a whole lot of it. But yes, I would have seen some Seth Galifianakis. But.
Okay. Well, it's just, I don't know. I was always interested in the fact that he transplanted this character and just gave him a new eye, gave him a new name without blinking an eye.
Yeah.
That was very interesting to me.
Anyway, there's a little story here in that if you're going to see the campaign at 1 p.m. on a Tuesday afternoon and you're passing out beers, like you're taking up a whole row and you and your three buddies are just passing out beers and just knocking them back and ruining the fucking movie for everybody, you're doing terrible things with your life and you're a horrible person because that is what happened to me and I couldn't believe what was going on.
Wow.
It was abysmal.
How disruptive. Like just opening beers and asking for other beers or
no, that less? See, and that's fine because that's no different than, you know, the Pepsi I opened and then opened a second one. You know what I mean?
And shotgunned the third one, funneled the fourth one, and then did body shots of the fifth one.
Yeah, no, it was that they were just being so loud and ludicrous and they drank a lot. Like I checked out their row, after they left, like as just on my way out of the theater, I walked up and did the old front row, like check out the row just to see what it was like. Cause I've been in theaters with people that have been drinking and it's always funny when, to see the empties, I suppose. And yeah, it was way more than four people should be consuming in an hour and a half on a Tuesday afternoon at 1 PM. You know what I mean? Like that's my main problem. Like if you can drink in the movie successfully and not ruin it for everybody else. But if you're doing it at 1 p.m., you're probably going to ruin the rest of the movie for everybody else because you're drinking at 1 p.m., which means you're a fucking idiot. But anyways.
No, I'm fine with this. And
you're fine with their actions or my complaints?
Your complaints.
Okay.
And I'm fine with their actions to a point. You want to drink whenever the fuck you want to drink, that's fine. When it disrupts other people, then I have an issue with it.
Yeah. Like let's say there's somebody sitting next to me in The Dark Knight Rises. You know, if I can tell there's like whiskey in their root beer, I don't care because they're not ruining the film for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Let's say I'm sitting next to the Dos Equis man. He's catching a flag.
Yeah. He doesn't always watch movies, but when he does.
I certainly do not have a moral problem with people drinking in movie theaters or public events or I don't know, drink at the library. I don't care until it starts bugging other people.
Yeah. Yeah. It was no good. People left and didn't come back and it was really annoying. I complained. Nothing was done. Whatever.
Oh, this sounds like beyond normal movie issues.
Yeah. It made the fact that they were cropping off like 10% of the left side of the screen totally minor. I just wanted to talk about I know we're a little late on this, but I struggled with talking about this because I struggle with my feelings about this scandal because I'm so fascinated by the Kristen Stewart Robert Pattinson scandal. Like I need you to explain this to me, because the day that that news broke, which is like 2 weeks ago now, I was on a shoot. Like I had worked like something like 14 hours. So I was just off the computer all day, and I come home and I'm on Twitter, and it's like, and it's just like everything has happened, and it's something that would never interest me, but I was just so interested. I was like, ooh, she's been cheating on him with this director. And I didn't even know her and Arpats were actually dating. And now she's being scandalous. And
I feel like they're married.
They're not married. They live together or live together. Robert Pattinson left and left the home and went to live with Reese Witherspoon for a while. Who knows a little thing or two about these as she learned from Ryan Phillippe.
But, is that true?
Yeah.
I didn't know about the Witherspoon connection.
Yep.
Okay, so here's a little brief take on just the language that's been used around this.
Yes.
So she... You know, they're together. Yeah. Arpats and Case do.
Yeah.
And she fucks this, like, 41-year-old.
Yeah. Director of Snow White and the Huntsman, which she started.
Yeah. And they're both legal age. Like, it's, you know, it's not a legal issue.
No.
It's just kind of like a moral issue.
Yeah.
And so it's a sex scandal. Now, here's my thing about the term scandal. It kind of gets abused in two different ways.
Okay.
This is my broad opinion of things. It gets abused in two different ways. This is one end of the spectrum where what is scandalous about this behavior? Like it's not really in line with what we've all agreed on is what you should do when you're in a relationship. Like part of an exclusive relationship is the exclusivity part where you don't fuck other people.
Yeah.
I agree.
Half of the exclusive relationship term, you know?
Yeah, I agree. But does that make it a scandal? Or is it because they're like, if I had a girlfriend and I cheated on her, that wouldn't be a scandal, right?
It would be a scandal within your circle of people that know both of you, yes.
Okay. Well, I just always thought that like their level of celebrity makes it scandalous. Even when it's what normal people would do, it wouldn't be a scandal. It would be a problem, and it would be a bad thing to do morally and ethically and all that. But it's not a scandal.
Well, the way the term scandalous is used is always sort of, you know, how it fits in that situation. Like I said, say you were dating somebody that I also knew, and then you cheated on that person. I would see that as a scandal in my life, you know, like the number one scandal that exists in my life, you know, just because I know both of you. And
but you would never, ever use the term scandal to describe it to anybody.
I really like using the word scandalous hyperbolically, though.
Okay, yeah. But hyperbolically, and you're aware.
Yeah, this is celebrity, journalism, you know, it's built on scandal or using hyperbole, you know?
Yeah, but that's what I'm getting at. It's only when it's within this context is that it considers scandal.
Yeah.
Like, if your friends were, you know, cheating on each other, you wouldn't say, like, oh, did you hear about that scandal with this, you know, whoever?
I haven't experienced this, so I don't know how I would react.
I feel like you wouldn't hear scandal. I'm just going to go out on a limb here.
You don't know me, James. You don't know what my life is like. You don't know what it's like to live with me for multiple years.
Not true.
Yeah.
So anyway, there's this like infidelity, and this is totally not me defending anybody's actions or reactions to it, but it's only their celebrity that makes this a scandal, right?
Yes.
Okay. Then there's the Joe Paterno sex scandal.
Yes.
Again, in air quotes. That's a scandal. Once again, I feel like only because people are involved that are famous. Like, if you found out your next-door neighbor was, I don't know, fucking a 10-year-old in a shower, you wouldn't call it a scandal when you told your friends or the police about it.
No. But that would be... that taking all celebrity out of the Penn State story, that would be a news story.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm.
But to me, it's just the term scandal. Is it just celebrity that defines that term?
I don't know. I suppose so. I think it's newsworthy that defines that term, and newsworthy happens to involve Kristen Stewart and, you know, anything like that. So yeah, I think it's more based on whether something's newsworthy, and I think your issue is more with why is this newsworthy more than why is this being called a scandal. Yeah.
No, I see what you mean. I just feel like the thing with the Paterno one is when they're that young, it doesn't seem like scandalous seems to have kind of two players into it.
Okay.
You know, it's you seem to two people have to be involved at a level where they're bold enough to understand what they're getting into. And I think that's part of a scandal, is that both parties understand they're this deep into it, yet they still act in this way.
Yeah.
But that's not something we, you know, that's not a level of responsibility that we normally put on children.
Yep.
And at the other side of things, with the case due and our Pats thing, I think it's just a scandal because of pure celebrity. They're obviously both old enough to do it and make up their own minds. And even if she's young 20s, you know, at that point, you've given up. Oh, I'm just too young and stupid. Like, that's you've kind of come to own everything you do at that point.
All right. I don't know. I think you're being really picky on the word scandal here, because here's the definition of scandal as a noun: an incident or event that disgraces or damages the reputation of the persons or organization involved. Two, damage to one's reputation. Three, widespread moral outrage, indignation as over an offense to decency. Three specifically really applies to Penn State more than, and one and two really, really apply to, well, two applies to both, but number one really applies to this case, do you think? And I think you're taking, okay, well, number six, defamatory talk, gossip, slander. I think you are taking offense to the fact that the level of newsworthy these things are. You shouldn't be taking offense or having a problem with the word scandal being used. The word scandal, again, is being used because these things are newsworthy.
Yeah, I know. I see where you're coming from. And I think, you know, with number three, it's mostly the term widespread that makes that one believable. But I don't know. I think I have an issue with the scandal kind of being like, we caught both of you in the act. Whereas with the, you know, Penn State thing, it's really on one person.
Okay.
And it's not so much scandalous as it is a case of straight up rape.
Okay.
Because at that age, that's kind of where it has to go. With, you know, with a celebrity couple, it's an affair if you're not famous. It's a scandal if you are famous. But I don't think that you shouldn't be kind of granted that level of, I don't know, notoriety just because you're a famous football coach versus being a high school football coach.
That's what I'm saying. You're arguing with the fact that this is newsworthy. You're not arguing about the use of the word scandal. And yeah, we're just going in circles.
Okay, move on.
Yeah. But no, I don't know why. This is the first like real celebrity like news story that I've been fascinated with. And I don't understand why, because I've never really cared for Robert Pattinson, and I don't really care for Kristen Stewart at all.
I'm going to disagree that this is the first celebrity story you've been fascinated with.
I was searching the internet for things about this. I don't think I Google a lot of, I don't know, when Brad and Angelina, when that thing happened, I wasn't watching.
It's pronounced Brangelina.
Okay. Yeah. I wasn't, you know, looking up facts about that or anything, but this is just, I actually specifically remember ignoring conversations about that at work. When people were like, "Do you hear about Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston?" It's like, yes, don't care. Gonna go rent some movies now. But no, it's just, I don't know. I'm very concerned with the fact that I'm really interested in this story, and I want it to go away just so I don't have to care about it anymore.
Well, what this story has going for it, and I don't particularly care about it or like when people get invested in like really deeply in things that aren't their lives or the lives of people they actually know and care about. Mm-hmm. Is that this has that sweet thing of it being such an isolated incident.
Yeah.
And everyone can put their finger on when and where and who exactly was involved.
Yeah.
And that's why I think, like, when you know that it's such a specific moment that you can really break down into, you know, all these specific elements.
Yeah.
I think that's part of why researching it even for someone who isn't normally watching TMZ or, you know, E exclamation mark.
Yeah.
Like,
is that what they call that show? Welcome to E exclamation mark.
I believe it is. Yeah. No, this is something you can hear about, like, in pieces and actually really do, like, one Google search and get to the bottom of it. And I think that's what it is. Like, it's a very... you can really pass by this news story, hear about it, and get to the bottom of it very quickly.
Yeah.
And they're big stars. I get that. And it's kind of... Unless I'm forgetting someone, it's kind of like the first big power couple of that generation.
Yeah, I would think so. Well, I mean, you got Gomez and Bieber.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah.
And maybe we just haven't hit their scandal. And maybe at that point we will.
Yeah.
But I think because Twilight is so, like, important to this generation.
Yeah.
And, you know, because it's two of the big people of that entire franchise, you know, really making a run for it. And then this happening, I can see why it's newsworthy. And it's that generation that kind of grew up with reality TV and grew up with Facebook and is used to, you know, spending even, I know celebrity scandals and, you know, divorce and cheating and all that kind of stuff is not new at all.
Yep.
It's been going on forever. But I don't think there's a generation that's really had the chance to embrace it the way that this generation has. And I'm not saying my generation is superior in any way. I think if my generation had the chance to do this kind of stuff and react on this level, they would. Yep. And you see that with Lewinsky and Clinton, and like there's a lot of other incidents where they get very deep into it.
Yep.
But those are the things that kind of dominate the forms of communication that this generation grew up with.
Yeah.
And I think that really contributes to why this was so explosive when it's just someone cheating on someone.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Just, yeah, I've been following it too much. I think a big part of why I was super interested in it is also that it seemed to happen like really quickly. It was sort of like, and it was sort of like Kristen Stewart jumping out in front of it. It was like a tabloid being like, we have pictures of this. And then her releasing a statement to beat the pictures or something. And it just sort of happened really quick. Whereas typically with these things, there are rumors first, you know, going back to the Brad and Angelina thing, there were rumors about that on set. And then it happened, you know, this was just sort of like, oh shit, this is happening. This is a thing. But I don't know. But
I was going to say, like, even to take an instance that's only a few years back. And another big cheating story would be Tiger Woods.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Oh, and you loved the Tiger Woods story.
Yeah, but that unfolded in a, like, an interesting way that if you were there kind of following it.
Yeah.
Like, there were steps to it, whereas this one had a maximum of 3 steps. Yeah. Like,
there was... it's the suddenness of them. They all came in 5 minutes, you know?
No, exactly. And 3 steps, I think, is a very small amount of steps for something of, I want to say this magnitude, but this apparent magnitude or anything that had this large of an effect.
Yeah.
Tiger Woods had like, oh, there was a car accident. Oh, my wife was trying to help me.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm injured. Like, there were some kind of intermediary steps.
Yep.
And he tried to contain it, and then he saw it was kind of breaking and change the story to try to contain that. And, you know, as quickly as that happened in retrospect, it's only a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
That's fast.
Yes.
That's not as, it's, you know, that's light speed compared to the way these things used to break.
Yep. Yeah. That's
but, when we look at, you know, this story, as you said, 5 minutes, you know, the 3 big news points of this story, bam, bam, bam.
Yeah. Yeah. No, exactly.
And no, and that just speaks to kind of the nature of the way that, you know, information gets passed at this point. A scandal's a scandal, even if it takes this long to break and there are repercussions. I was actually just, oddly enough, rereading the kind of the Tiger Woods story. And they say that the amount, like, between the sponsorships that he lost and the time that he took off the PGA as a result of it, that him choosing to cheat on his wife cost the economy more than $1 billion. And that's insane, right?
Yeah.
And it's just at a point where, like, commerce and communication are all tied up, that these things can change so vastly and so quickly. And that's why when you see a story like, I think, Case doing our Pats, like, it is a big deal. And even if you don't think, like, emotionally, I don't care about these people or their relationship, there's so much tied up into this between how other people feel, or, you know, what contracts or, you know, endorsements or movie agreements say needs to happen, that even if you don't think on a personal level that this is a big deal, there is an economic factor to it.
Yep.
And even if you can kind of separate yourself from being a fanboy or a fangirl one way or the other.
Do not make me separate myself from my Twilight fanboyism.
I would never do that. But there is,
you,
like,
can
a
have
real...
my Batman fanboyism, but I'm keeping the Twilight.
I don't think you'd give it up so easy.
Yeah. Well, thank you for listening to the MacGuffin Men, where we are notorious for breaking down all celebrity news and not providing film commentary. We'll be back next week when we break down, I don't know, what's another scandal we can break down?
I don't say this. Maybe you should just cut this out.
Yeah.
And, like, keep it for yourself. But I heard Roseanne and Tom Arnold are breaking up.
What? That's crazy. Oh, my God. Imagine how crazy it would be if it ended up with Roseanne being in Playboy. Yeah.
Good luck sleeping tonight.
All right. Thank you for listening to the MacGuffin Men. Be sure to check back next week. As I mentioned earlier, we've got a podcast on Easy A coming up. And if you haven't seen Easy
A... Good movie.
Again, good movie. If you haven't seen Easy A, you should do that so that you can
great movie.
So you can listen to our podcast, but mostly so that you can get joy out of life, because that's all that Easy A is. It's pure joy. So thank you for listening to the MacGuffin Men, and we'll see you, or I don't know, speak to you with no response soon.